Hey, pass the salt.
It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning. Not totally back on my feet, but more on my feet than I was yesterday. Thanks for being, patient with me. And, I think I've had a bioweapon released. When we were at a Bard's Fest, I got sick of Bard's Fest. Dr. Sherry got sick of Bard's Fest. Now remember this: I've done all the protocol. I've done them all, man. And so when this thing hit me, thank God I had the protocols. And it's like everything else. People say, "Oh, it's COVID. It has to be COVID." Well, first of all, I think COVID is so long gone; it can't possibly be COVID. They'll call it COVID because that's kind of what they do. But from what I understand, COVID was a lung issue. Couldn't breathe. I never really struggled with that. I had a headache, had a bit of a cough. But I was like in a different realm in my bed last night. I can't explain it. I was asleep, but I was awake. And I was like almost incapable of even doing anything. I tried to get up. I couldn't make myself get up and get a drink of water. Get up and get a drink of water, and it made me sick. I lay back down. say what you want. It was almost like it was a biological agent that's inside of something electronically. Been shed on me somewhere along the line, and I'm better, but my energy is still really low, and so I was having some discussion with my wife because she loves me. Thank God she does, and she says, "Honey, you can't go. You can't go to Oklahoma. You can't go." And I said, "Well, how about if I take 3 days off of my show and sleep in? Can I go then?" So I don't have to burn the wick on both ends. And she reluctantly agreed to that. But I want you guys to think about this. We are right now in the midst of war. It's not the fog of war. We're in it. And it's bioweapons. And it's who knows what all the stuff that's going on with it. Who knows what the enemy's doing. And I said to my wife, I'm 68. And I said, if I don't do this, honey, who's going to? Who's going to do it if I don't do that? Am I going to say, well, I'm going to stay home for a couple weeks and get healed up, and somebody else will come along and they'll take care of my children and grandchildren? And I said, no. The time to poke is now. Got to do it. Got to go. So we're going to be going to Oklahoma. I looked at the schedule, but it was kind of a fog to me. And we're going to be there on, what is today, Tuesday? We'll be there Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, and home Friday. Come back home. Hopefully at that point I can catch my breath a little bit. Take some vitamins. I had an amazing thing happen last night. I had a doctor friend of mine from originally from Petoskey, Michigan. And he's moved down here to the Columbus area. And he called me, told me he wanted to come out and see me. So I said, okay, well, come on. So he came out and he talked to me, and you know, he's very much, he's a retired, why they do those guys knock people out. You know what I'm talking about.
And he's anesthesiologist.
Thank you, Steve. Anesthesiologist. That's his profession. He's also a doctor. And he said, I think you need a little bit of a antibiotic. And so he ordered me an antibiotic. How often does this happen to you, folks? You get a home visit from a doctor. He orders you an antibiotic and pays for it. It's like something that is unbelievable. So he got that in me a little bit last night. And it's going to take a while for that to begin to work. There's no time to be sick. There just isn't. If we could understand the urgency, the times in which we live, if we really knew how much the enemy was amping it up right now, can't take off 2 weeks, 3 weeks. Can do that. I can't do that to little David, Macy, Mia. Can't do that to them. Because the future of America, as we know it, is lying, it's lying in the balance right now. So I want to thank a lot of you. I got a lot of really nice emails and text messages and great encouragement, and just love all of you as you guys are some awesome teammates. And I know that you really do care for us, and we really care for you. And there's others. Stephanie's struggling. Heck, she's been really, really under the weather. And Rick Kelly's up in Michigan. He almost died. And I know you guys are dealing with it too. This is not the flu. Now, one of my friends found out that I was a little bit under the weather, and they said, "Coach, you need to go get tested for COVID." I said, "What? Why would I get tested for COVID?" He says, "Well, you just got to make sure that if you have it, others don't come around you." I said, "Is it okay if they come around me if I have the flu? Is it okay? Why would I go get tested for COVID? Because I know what they're going to say, you have it. But I also know that I've had it before. I know that I did." Whatever it was electrical transmission into my system. I don't know how it happened. I don't know. It's funny. It happened to Dr. Sherry Tenpenny the same time when we were out in Bard's Fist. And then somebody said, "You know, Coach, I don't think this way. Maybe I need to be a little bit smarter. Sam probably thinks this way." He said, "You know, Coach, there could be people infiltrating and releasing that stuff. They could be taking vials and getting in those buildings where you are and letting those things out." And just made me a little bit more on my toes. And it's Normandy Beach, in my opinion. Right now, it's Normandy Beach. And if we don't do what we need to do now, if we don't move now, I think it's going to be too late. So I covet your prayers, still covet your prayers. I have a little bit more strength, not a whole lot of strength, but more strength, enough to be able to get on an airplane. And I promised my wife, if I'm too tired, I'll just lay in bed out there. And good stuff's going on. Good stuff. So again, I want to thank all of you. And I feel kind of bad because I haven't really said a whole lot about Dale, what's going on down there in Dale and the devastation in their life down there. And one of the things I want to do is get something organized to help him down there. I just haven't had to, man, I just haven't been able to do it. And, you know, building supplies are skyrocketing down there. Dale wants to feed people. And I would send him some money. I could raise some money and send it to him. I don't even know if he can receive it. I don't even know how to get the money to him. So maybe some of you can kind of pick up on that idea and see what he needs. And I'll raise some money. I have some money, Dale, I can give you.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
I am here. We'll talk, when you're ready to let me talk. I do got to point out a few things to you, but we are ready to do all of those things above. So keep going. I am in, and we'll chat in just a second.
All right, man. Thanks. So I just felt an urge for Joe Silver, if you would, Joe. just pray Psalm 91 over us, Joe. Would you do that? Would you throw that up on the screen for us real quick, Spencer? Psalm 91. Because as we become more and more active, I want you to know that the enemy is gonna become more and more aggressive. Folks, he knows how critical the time is. He understands how much more critical it is than we understand it. And so we have to, the only one we can trust on is when we dwell in the secret place of the Most High. And Joe, if you would pray that over us today, I'd appreciate it, man.
Okay, Coach. Is my sound okay?
Yes.
Okay.
By the way, I hope everybody's still taking your communion. Michelle and I still have. Keep doing that.
Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler.
Yes, Lord.
And from the noisome pestilence.
Yes, sir.
He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be my shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness.
Boy, there's pestilence walketh in darkness, and the destruction that's wasting at noonday, brother. We're in the middle of that.
Or for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee.
Thank you, Lord.
Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee.
Yes.
Neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling.
Thank you, Lord.
For He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet.
Amen.
Because He hath set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver Him. I will set Him on high, because He hath known my name.
Amen.
He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation.
Amen. That's what I stand on.
Amen.
That's what I stand on. So I just say, Lord, get this bio thing out of me. Will you get that thing out of me? I got work to do. Got stuff to get done. Amen. Amen. What am I looking at here? Hey, Craig, are you in here, Craig? Craig Mickle? Yeah, maybe he's not.
Yeah, hello, Coach.
Craig's always here. Craig, if you would, share that text you sent me yesterday, Craig, about the Hebrew calendar and kind of where we are. I thought that was really, really pretty profound.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, we're coming up to the end of the year as far as the Hebrew calendar does. And a lot of times when we look through the different patterns in the Bible, there's a consistency to them. And what God kind of done in the past is like an accounting of your business. You know, whether you have a fiscal year of July or the end of the December, you kind of put all the books together and like how much money did we make, how many expenses, and you know at the end of the you draw a line, and you're either up or you're down. Well, God kind of does that too with mankind, especially did it with the nation of Israel. Remember Deuteronomy 28 was when Moses, one of his last parting messages to the nation of Israel was, here's the blessings and here's the curses. Do this, you're going to have that. Do this, you're going to have the curses. And so God kind of does that sometimes on an annual basis, and different times and in different periods of time, they have more, let's just say, amperage. That's a good term you like there, Coach, that you got amped down.
Yep.
So if you look at this year and you look at the COVID and you look at all the different things that are going on, you know, this year's ending up. And there's lots of evil that's been portrayed. And then God kind of sets up, as we come to this today, or, you know, Silver and I, we kind of have these little back and forth on, you know, what's the actual day. You know, the Bible talks about Satan trying to mess times and seasons. And I think that has a lot to do with the calendar, personally, because then he can kind of get us on the wrong thing. And it's not, I'm not really worried about date specific. You know, we don't need, we don't need to get pinpoint on it, but we need to know within a few days or a week of what's kind of going on. And so that's what I said is this is coming to an accounting. And if you go back and you look, Elul, and you can do some, people can do some research, you just, you know, get on the web, look at some different people. They'll talk about Elul, people that know Hebrew type of things, like Monty Judah, one of the things that Silver brought in for some teaching there. And they'll talk about this, that this is a reflective month, getting ready for the new year, which is Rosh Hashanah. And that's supposedly supposed to be sometime either yesterday or tomorrow on the Hebrew calendar. And that's the beginning of the year. And so now we're going to go into the next year. And so we'll see what kind of things. Is God going to bless the next year? Is he going to not bless it? And that's where we're at, Coach.
So it's some crazy stuff going down, huh, Craig?
Well, and then we got some big feasts now, okay? We've got to remember, when Jesus, you know, he pinpointed all the feasts on the exact day. Passover, Feast of Unleavened Bread, Feast of First Fruits, Pentecost. I mean, these are all date-specific days in the Bible according to the Hebrew law. And remember, Jesus got accused of doing something for claiming to be God, but he never broke any of the Hebrew law. So he was basically held unjustly by the very people that he was coming to save. You know, he didn't break any of their 613 laws. And the only thing that he got was he claimed to be the Son of God, and they said that was blasphemy, and you know, that was worthy of death. But he was telling the truth, as we all know. So you know, we got 10 more days until the Day of Atonement, and that was the day that the high priest would go in and make the atonement for the nation of Israel. In other words, one man would basically speak for the nation. And of course, we know that's what Christ did for mankind for all eternity. And then we have the Feast of Tabernacles. So these are good studies to understand, because they do give a prophetic curtain of how things are going to portray and finish up. You know, I believe in my heart that those feasts are still unfulfilled with the mirror of Christ in the past, and that at a certain time and place, that Jesus is going to be date specific on those dates and fulfill them. And we'll have a better understanding as we look back. You know, it's always easy to figure prophecy out once it's happened, and then you can really quantify it, right? You know, but the Bible is 25 to 30% prophecy. And so studying prophecy is not necessarily a waste of time or a bad thing. What it is we can't make it a division thing. And I think, as you point out so well, it's a matter of just being in a battle. Sometimes I go and I think, okay, well, we're going to win. I look at it this way, Coach. Whether we win or lose, it doesn't matter to me from the standpoint it's worthy. It's a worthy cause.
Right.
Christ is worthy of your best, and you know what? Let the Holy Spirit lead you in what that means, and get busy, because you're right. We are at a convergence. We are at a convergence, and I think this ChristianRevolution.net has been hit in the second heaven. They know the threat level of what that means. And that's exposure too. And I honestly believe one of the things of the Christian revolution is to expose these people that are behind the scenes. And when that happens, a lot of times when exposure comes, guess what? The judgment falls. And boy, that lets God come in and take them out.
Yeah, and see, in my mind, Craig, we're going to find out really, really soon if the rapture is real. Because if it doesn't happen here very, very quickly, we have misread that teaching. And I'm not saying yes or no. But boy, there's some conversion coming on right now like we have never seen. And most of the church is, boy, missing an action in it. Debbie, come on in.
You know, I have always loved the high holidays, and Rosh Hashanah is always very special because in the old beliefs, it was that everyone passes before the Lord on Rosh Hashanah, and then you spend 10 days in repentance before Yom Kippur. And so some of the greetings are, you know, we wish that the Lord would write you a good new year. And so that's the other tradition is the shofar, and that's the blast of the trumpet. And I read something interesting last night about that, and it was the warning to Satan. When he hears the trumpet, then it's like the charge, you know, that we always had.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but on the eve of Rosh Hashanah, the shofar is not sounded because we don't want Satan to know what we're doing. So I just thought that was interesting because I think that's what you do, Coach. You like sound the trumpet, you blow the shofar, and yep. Satan stands up and listens. And so I just pray protection over you, Coach, because, you know, I think now as you become more open and overt rather than covert, I guess.
Yep.
Then you kind of have to be more careful in public places and perhaps what you drink and perhaps those kinds of things when, you know, we just take it for granted. So God bless you, Coach. We're praying for you.
Thank you. Higher levels, higher devils. That's what they always told me. And I believe we're stepping it up. And I believe this assault has been unbelievable from my aspect.
Hey, Coach, can I just say one thing? And this will kind of encapsulate and, you know, about, you know, the Jubilee and the 50. Do you know on August 15th of this year, 50 years to the date, Richard Nixon took this country off the gold standard?
50 years, really?
50 years to the date, August 15th, 2021.
Wow.
And that's the day Afghanistan went down.
Just call it a quinkadink, right, Craig? Just a quinkadink.
it just kind of says that these patterns and these times are you need to be sensitive to them and understand them.
Amen, bud. Jerry, come on in.
Hey, Coach, God bless you. And I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, he lays his healing hands upon you.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, man.
I wanted to say a couple things. Comes to rapture, I did major studies on that. Now, when it comes to being caught up in the sky, it's certainly possible. Mark 10:28 states that with God, all things are possible. But rapture, if you break it up, the word rap means to sing or to speak a song, a story and melody, and chur meaning a feast or festival. And what the Lord showed me was that we're going to be sitting with him, speaking our testimonies in a melody or song at the great feast with him. So could we get caught up in the sky? Certainly. Mark 10:28 states that. But I believe that the rapture is going to be us gathering, speaking our testimony to him after this is all said and done. I could be wrong.
Well, my point is this, and I pray there's a rapture. I pray there is. But I would have to be honest with you. I think there are very few Christians who are deserving of being rescued. We don't want to be held responsible for our negligence. You say, oh, well, doesn't matter. Don't mean nothing. Well, I'll be out of here soon. That's not a very Christian attitude, I don't think.
That's some truth right there, Coach.
Yeah, and I think that if there is a rapture and we're going to be rescued out of here, we're going to be surprised at how few people that might really be. Might really be. I don't know. Dale, come in. I'm struggling a little bit again this morning, fellas. So help me up. Carry me here. Good.
Amen, Coach. Listen, brother, we are. I have informed people. I'm like, my goodness. One of my anchors when we do this kind of stuff, I said, he's down, gentlemen. So every job that I've been helping with the past few days, you know, that's where we're praying. I was at my elders. We were praying directly for you. I don't want to bug you. I just want you to rest. I want you to get better, brother. My wife would highly recommend this, that you buy, if you don't have in your house, an the sensor that you put on your finger just to test and keep up on your oxygen. She goes, outside of that, you're doing everything anyways. It'll work itself through your system. She goes, but the key thing is making sure your oxygen saturation in your body is at least 90% or higher. She goes, all right. Otherwise, it does a lot of stuff when you start having low oxygen in your body. It bothers your kidneys and such and so forth. So I'm just letting you know that.
Appreciate it. Yes, sir.
Amen, brother. Outside of that, brother, if you want me to take one of the shows, I can give firsthand on what's going on. But I will let you know this. We are starting our first feeding this Sunday. So we're excited about that. And we have just been tarping house after house after house down here. I covet the prayers. And, Coach, the good thing about this is you don't have to oversee it. I don't have to drive to Texas. I'm right here. We're going to do it right there at the church. So, brother, we love you and praying for you. Get all better. Right. All right? I don't like seeing you down like this, man.
I don't either. My wife doesn't like seeing me down. So Dale,
oh my goodness,
show's yours tomorrow, okay?
Show's yours. Thank you,
Larry. Come on in.
Yeah, Coach. You know, you said that you weren't sure that a very high percentage of Christians would be eligible for rapture if there is one. I think every Christian is eligible for rapture. The problem is, so few people that think they're Christians are.
Well said. That's right. And so the idea that we somehow qualify for the evacuation bus, that's a whole different issue, isn't it? Good word, good word. Don't know how many of you saw this this morning. This just shows us how crazy the world is we're living in. The Afghani refugees that are coming to America. Did you guys see what they're being treated with? Hydroxychloroquine. And ivermectin. Now, our government won't permit Americans to be treated with hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin, but the Afghan refugees coming to America are receiving this world is so unbelievable. It's so unbelievable. And the stuff that we see going on, and we somehow seem to be so oblivious. And I was sharing with Michelle yesterday. Folks, we have an occupied government. Our government does not represent us. It doesn't represent us. And not in any way, shape, or form. And anybody who has any type of Christian values is not respected, is put on the back of the bus and told to keep the opinions to themselves. And as a result, we have corrupt government. We have out of control spending, look around. And so the only thing, that's why we're so excited about, the idea of a Christian revolution. It's the only thing that will save us. A revolution, a revival of Christian values, unashamed Christian values. No more conservatism, no more Republican light, no more rhinos, no more of that stuff. Folks, we're at that crossroad. Come on in, Tony.
Hey, Coach. I did a study basically in the rapture because what I had seen was everybody thinks American, you know. The thing is, the people in the foreign land, they're being slaughtered, and it's been going on for a long time. And so I looked into everything, and the doctrine actually started back in 1830. The Jesuits sent John Nelson Darby to the United States to spread that doctrine. And the idea was to change the Christian mindset from a warrior to escaping.
Yep.
and it weakened the church, and it caused the church not to get involved in things in society, and that's why we don't have no Christian judges and all that. And I looked at the scriptures too about the dead in Christ rising first. In the book of Revelation, it talks about the two witnesses, and they'll be preaching Christ. And I believe that's the dead in Christ, because they'll be killed, and they'll rise again. And they'll rise first, and then us that are alive and remain will be caught up to meet them. And they always say, well, we're not supposed to go through the tribulation because we're not going to do God's wrath. But the Bible actually says the tribulation is the devil's wrath. And it also says that we will know who the Antichrist is. He'll be revealed. And the thing is, he'll make war against the saints. So the thing is, with that teaching that we're taught, we're not prepared to be the overcomers in the tribulation. And so many will fall away because they will say, well, how come the Lord didn't come? I guess all this is a fairy tale. But the thing is, the Bible says no man knows the day or the hour, but from the Feast of the Trumpets, the way that works is that you have two witnesses about the new moon coming. And as soon as they don't know if it's the first or second day, but they look, and when that light starts to form on the moon, they tell the priest and they blow the trumpets. So the church will know when the so-called rapture will happen. They won't know the day, but they'll know the time, the season of it. And because the church, when they're listening to the voice of God, they're informed.
So think about this. How do we explain the rapture to those Christians in Afghanistan? Huh? Anybody have an answer on that one?
They got the highest honor there is. They got killed for their faith. We don't want them to get raptured. They got a crown of martyrdom.
That's right.
That is the highest honor. We just praise the Lord they didn't get tortured.
I'd rather do work for God than to be martyred. Martyrs checking out. But when you're fighting for God, you're enduring. You're a warrior. God wants the overcomer. Oh, to the overcomer.
Amen. Here's the point that I'm trying to make is, how do we justify the rapture doctrine with what just happened to thousands of Christians in Afghanistan? See, we think we Americanize it. That's what I think we do. Come on in, Sam.
Could I? Oh, I'll take that one. I'll buy that for a dollar. Yeah, I think there's way too much focus on the Great Tribulation and not enough focus on regular tribulation, just for starters. Yes. There's such a regular tribulation, and it is something that's been denied so much of our nation. And a person in Afghanistan or somebody who leaves all and goes out to preach will learn a little bit about that. And that's where we have to put our faith into practice. And I also think that there's not nearly enough focus on the millennial reign. You know, part of the escape rapture doctrine is that the millennial reign is irrelevant because according to the Larkin chart, that is when people are enjoying the wedding feast with the Lord in heaven. And I believe, for a number of reasons, that without getting into too much end time theology, which can be very divisive, of course, I believe that the millennium is where we should really put our focus on. We should put our focus on the fact that the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our God, and he shall reign forever and ever. We should become focused on the fact that the stone that's cut out without hands strikes the feet of clay, and all of the gold and silver and the brass and the iron and the clay becomes powder and like chaff on the threshing floor and is blown away, and the stone fills the whole earth. And so this is where, Coach, I really appreciate that you tell people about our victory, that our kingdom's supposed to advance. And if you get into the more fanatical sects of the escape rapture doctrine, they're convinced that we are to be retrograde, that the Christian people are supposed to decline, that we're supposed to be pushed back and pushed back. And then, you know, when we're between the sword and the wall, when we're between Pharaoh's army and the sea, that's when, boom, the Lord opens up the heavens and splits the sky. And that's kind of the opposite of the kingdoms of this world becoming the kingdoms of our God and him reigning forever and ever.
Amen.
I like the fact that we're on offense right now, Coach.
Me too.
I like the fact that we're winning souls, that we're making forward advancement. I even like the idea of militarily moving to stamp out the troublemakers that would come to get us. And so I think it's easy to focus on regular tribulation. All right, let's use our faith today to get up and out and defeat the enemy and live prosperously and our seed flourish. And let's focus on the millennial reign where the Lord comes to visit us and to physically reign in Jerusalem, and that he heals the earth and the lion will lie down with the lamb. So many beautiful promises, and those are all just ejected and rejected and left on the cutting room floor.
Well, that's true.
Certain rabid sects of that doctrine.
That's a good point, Sam. Well said.
I'd like to throw a stone in here if I could.
Sure, Gene.
Okay. If we go read the 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, it first says the desolator is going to come first.
Yes, it does.
Go read that.
Can you pull that up, Smith? Thessalonians 2.
Come after the desolator. And I just believe now, I'm not here to argue anybody. I believe the rapture was thrown in for like a joke. I can't remember his name now, was explaining, to get our eyes off of that we're not going to be here to fight anything. But I think we're going to be here. My personal opinion, if we just read that second chapter, 2 Thessalonians, it explains a lot to me. Paul said, I came in the first part of Thessalonians, Paul kind of made the comment, wait a minute, I want to explain my first book, which is explained in chapter 4. You're all getting your idea kind of wrong, because verse 13 in chapter 4 explained, Paul said, I want to explain to you where the dead go. And if we die, where do we go? We go back up to be with Christ, right? Paul said, for me to die is to be with Christ, and for me to stay here, I'm still here.
Amen. Amen.
So this is my thought. I'm not here to argue, because I think the rapture is causing a lot of confusion.
Paralysis, I think, Gene. It's causing paralysis. And I think... Sure, Sam.
Two things are undeniable. One, the dead in Christ rise. That, you can't believe read the Bible hardly at all without believing that the dead in Christ rise and that it's a literal event. Two, the Lord does send his angels to gather the elect from the four winds. That it happens, and it's going to happen at a point in time. And so, Gene, you brought up this point that we need to focus, that we're going to fight, we're going to have troubles. That's where the focus needs to be. We have to encounter the wiles of the devil and defeat him in this present life. But those of us who think we have to fight, a lot of times they want to call us some kind of a name of a biblical flat earther, that we don't believe that Christ are going to rise. and that we don't believe that there is a point in time where the Lord sends his angels to gather the elect from the four winds. And I'll tell you what, the parable of the wheat and the tares, it's only in one gospel that this is told this way. But the Lord Jesus says, and this is just the torpedo that breaks the hull from underneath of the whole escape doctrine. In the wheat and the tares, the Lord sends his angels into the harvest field to gather to sever the wicked from among the just, to start with, and to bind the tares in bundles to be burned while the wheat's still in the ground. And so that has to be ejected. That has to be set aside. That has to be ignored to make the whole Larkinshart theology make sense. I believe absolutely that there's a point in time the elect are gathered. Before that, the wicked are gathered in bundles to be burned.
I believe so.
The wicked are severed from among the just. So just because I don't believe in the Larkinshart doesn't mean that we're completely off in left field and we don't believe in the miraculous. Just want to state that.
Amen. Amen. Jeff, come on in. And Joe.
Yeah, I like to talk about motivation. Okay. It's being on the offense for God. Two things. I went to the Labor Day parade yesterday. I got some thumbs up and knuckle communications. And I got hit with three soakers, water soakers.
Good.
And a guy spit in my face, a full-blown spit in my face. Now, yesterday evening, I got this call from this preacher. Invited me to come up and preach at a tent revival in Napa, Idaho. Talk about going on the offensive. Thank you.
Good. Blessings. Joe, come on in, and then Larry.
Hi, Coach. Well, I think that we are told to occupy. Yes, we're not surrender monkeys. This no. isn't the Maginot Line, and we have the wrong defense, and we just give up and eat cheese. You know, we're supposed to live by faith and probably find out a lot of our preparations aren't going to be there, but we have the solution attitude, the faith attitude. There's a way out of this whole box situation attitude, and this will increase our faith, and that's what we have to work on, I think, is faith.
Joe, I can't believe the number of Christians who are oblivious to the times in which we live. I was sharing that with Michelle, my wife, yesterday. I just shook my head. I can't believe what some of the people that I know and love say. It's just, Dr. Sherry Tenpenny said this to me. She said, doctors are stupid. She said, all they know is protocol.
They can only recite the page in the book. They can't think out of a box.
They cannot think outside of a box. And yeah. no matter how much evidence you present them of people who are actually dying, the fact that they're treating Afghanistan refugees with hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin, and we're not allowed to use it, is like unbelievable, isn't it?
Because that's a protocol they've been given. But you know, the greatest teacher of faith in our time, and I only got to know the man after he passed via YouTube, was Kenneth Hagin. And he was teaching faith for healing and for other purposes. But he'd be teaching faith right now. He wouldn't be teaching surrender.
No.
He'd be teaching occupy. Take some ground. You know,
well,
take
some ground. And occupy. I don't think he can find surrender, and I just don't think he can.
No,
he can't find it. But boy, no, we sure try to. Come on in, Rochelle. And then free by truth.
Good morning, team. You know, when we're talking about the rapture, if there is a rapture, this is Revelation 3:10. It's the New Living Translation. I don't have my other Bible with me.
That's all right. We'll see here this morning.
Because you have obeyed my command to preserve, I will protect you from the great time of testing that will come upon the whole world to test those who belong to this world. I'm coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take away your crown. All who are victorious will become pillars in the temple of my God. So this is saying to get ready, you know, like bad things are going to happen. You'll be protected, but it doesn't. Our version of protection is different than his version of protection.
That's right. It ain't going to be, you're not going to be sitting in a buggy and pushing you around in a buggy. That's for sure. Folks, we are literally on the precipice of that. Was it Patrick Henry? Yes, Patrick Henry's speech. In his speech, he says, I'm paraphrasing, give me liberty or give me death. How long are we going to sit around and listen to the bells of war, the guns of war? They're coming on. How long are we going to sit around and not do anything? And I believe that's where we are right now. And I believe in the bottom of my heart that the Lord has called me particularly into the kingdom for such a time as this. For what we are doing right now, I believe it is my life's work. Now, I'm 68. I want to be around forever, be with my grandbabies, love all my wife. Sometimes it doesn't work that way, does it? Sometimes war has consequences, and sometimes that war is death. But as Michelle said, martyrs get a crown. And greater love is no man than this, and he would lay down his life for his friends, not escape for his friends. Be out on the front line, challenging, confronting, for the sake of your friends and the sake of your Lord. And that's why it's been so frustrating to me over the years that you can't get Christians to engage in the political process. It baffles me. Come on in, Free by Truth, and then let's get Randy in here then. Go ahead.
Thank you, Coach. So while you were all talking about this, I often questioned this scripture. It's Revelation chapter 6, verse 9. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O God, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren should be killed as they were, should be fulfilled.
Wow.
So I often wondered, like, is that the Afghanistans? Is that the people? Like, who are these people? And, you know, like, I often go back and forth with this, you know, rapture, and I'm like, I'm pan trib. However it works, it's going to pan out.
Me too.
And also, off the subject, I got a new phone yesterday, so I got a new telephone number. So it gave me an excuse to call everybody on my list, on my contacts, and I told every single person about the Christian Revolution and told them to donate. So I hope we get lots of donations. And some of those people are in mega churches, and they had this meeting last night or the night before about this. They're forcing people to get these shots. And it was so filled up that they got too many people, like more people than they thought. So I know this is going to go out, and I just pray that everybody donates. And I love you guys. And that's it. Thank you.
Thank you, dear. We're sitting on a time bomb. It's no question we're sitting on a time bomb. And I believe this is a last day's pushback. We can still win this thing, man. The devil is, oh my God, he is so overplayed his hand, but we have no opposition to him. That's what we're trying to do. Go ahead, Randy.
Coach, I like this scripture here. Paul told Timothy, 1 Timothy 6:20, the last, very last two verses. O Timothy, guard what was committed to your trust, avoiding the profane and the vain babblings, the empty chatter.
Yes, empty. Sir.
And contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge. Coach, we have a lot of doctrine out here floating around that's not, they're calling it right and knowledge, and it's false.
Uh-huh. Okay,
look, if it's a distraction, I'm not afraid to talk about it. I like to. But, Coach, when we're zoned in on a battle, you don't talk about a bunch of distractions. You don't let distractions take you out of that zone. We are in a battle, Coach. We are in a battle of all battles right now. And if you can't see it, then you're not a participant. Okay, but if we're gonna waste our time on the distractions, and I'm not saying that the end times aren't important, but they're gonna take care of themselves, is what Dale taught me. And so we need to zone in. We need to stay zoned like a good soldier and let some of this stuff that really is not that big a deal, let it go. Just don't waste our time. So all I'm saying, Coach, I'm not jumping on anybody, but we can talk about the rapture for 10 days, for 2 weeks, and we'll never maybe get to the only right one. So what I'm saying is, let's stay zoned in like you're saying in this battle, you know, and talk about it some other time, you know.
So, Randy, here's my take on it. If we really believed there was a rapture, we would be so doubling down on our efforts right now to rescue the perishing. We would be invading the public schools. We would be invading government. We would be doing everything we can to get as many people as possible to come to the knowledge of truth. But we don't do that. We go and hide in our churches. And we don't even have impact outside of our own church. And yet we want people to believe that the sky's going to split and Christians are going to be out here. So I heard one pastor say one time, I'm going to wave the people on the way up. I thought somebody would get a shotgun and shoot him like a buzzard as he went up. That's what I thought. If that's your attitude.
Coach.
Yes.
The last verse I was going to read also, the next, it says, and he says, by professing it, some have strayed concerning the faith. Coach, by professing false doctrine, what we're doing, we're defending it over Jesus. And let me show you what I mean. Coach, a lot of churches, you can go in there and you can say something, you can badmouth Jesus, you can talk about the Christ and something negative, and they just sit there. But if you touch their doctrine on eschatology and rapture, yeah, they will fight you, they will claw you, you're out of there, man. They're evil. So, Coach, what are they defending? They're defending something that they were taught that was something big, and they've missed the point, see, Coach. They're defending something that's not even of God. And a lot of churches and a lot of Christians are defending doctrines that aren't of God, and then they don't defend Jesus and the Holy Spirit. So is there a problem? Amen. I think they're erring concerning the faith, Coach.
For us to know to do good and not to do it, to us it is sin. And rather than sitting around worrying about whether our own skin is going to be saved, we ought to be more actively involved in trying to get others into the boat. That's my take on it. Reggie, come on in.
Thank you, Coach. I hope you're feeling better. The rapture is not even doctrine. You can't even prove it in the Bible. It wasn't even a concept till 1830 by John Darby, who was a Freemason. I don't even get how people could even follow this new concept. I'm not really good scripture quoter, but it said something, if somebody should come in the future and teach you something other than what we've taught you, let them be anathema. I don't even understand that. We're following a Freemason's concept and teaching. Infiltration into the church has been happening for years. I don't get it, but I just wanted to give that bit of information.
Lazy Christians without doing a whole lot of research is what I would say for the most part. Alan, come on in.
Hey, Coach, our biggest enemy is not the Antichrist. Our biggest enemy is not tares. You know, Jesus said, I'm going to send my angels to separate, you know, the tares. But I like focusing in on Luke 3:17, Coach. You got the chaff. You know, the chaff is part of the wheat plant. Right. And Jesus said, I'm going to take my fan. That's a pitchfork. You know, a lot of people think Satan's got a pitchfork. Well, Jesus is coming after the chaff. That's folk that go to church every Sunday. That's folk singing in the choir, doing all these things. And guess what? Jesus is going to separate them away from the fruit. The people that actually loves him, he's going to do the separating himself. He ain't sending an angel to do it. He's going to do it.
Good point, man.
So think about that for just a minute now.
Yep. Amen.
And, hey, I'm going to throw one verse at y'all that really needs to be dug into. Revelation chapter 5, verse 3. No man in heaven. Wait a minute. There's men in heaven. No man on the earth and no man under the earth was found worthy to open up the scroll. So if you look man in all three of those verses or all three of those words there, that's a body form. It's not a spirit being. He didn't say the spirits in heaven or the spirits under the earth. He said no man in heaven, no man on earth, and no man under the earth was able to open up the scroll. So
when you dig into that verse now, there's a lot to dig into right there in that little short Revelation chapter 5, verse 3 verse.
Wow. You know, it's crazy, isn't it, how shallow most of our understanding is of Scripture. We have such a shallow understanding, and we just believe what somebody else has taught it. That's why I like trust but verify. I got to wrap it up here. Let's go to Silver. Go ahead, Silver.
Coach, I always have a little saying about the rapture. Pray for pre, hope in mid, but prepare for post.
Okay. Well said, brother.
It's going to happen, but yeah. When is totally irrelevant.
That's right. That's right. Good word, Joe. Drifter 78, come on, let you close it out.
Hey, Coach, one thing I know, Jesus said to every church in the book of Revelation, when he talks to churches 1-3, he that overcomes, we need to overcome. We need to be overcomers.
Pretty simple, brother. Pretty right. Simple, right? Occupy till I return. Last I checked, he hadn't come back yet. We got to be holding the ground. Peter Falk, come on in, Peter.
Oh, so hoping you would catch me before you go, Coach. Are you ready for this?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay. How they've attacked us is the three I's, right? It's isolate, immobilize, and immolate, right? So let's do it the same thing to them right now. Churches are pagan structures, and they allow demons to enter. So don't go to church anymore. Home church, everybody. Stay out of churches. They're evil. Absolutely evil. And today is the satanic holiday. It's Rosh Hashanah. It's the satanic holiday where they murder children.
It's really hard. Vinny, it's really, really, it's really, really hard to go to a church without it becoming a business. It's really, really hard. I think that's the problem. I don't think a lot of pastors start out the wrong way. I think, you know, they have good intentions, and then they hire staff.
It gets subverted. That's the whole thing.
That's right.
I just broke your grist. Boom. See ya. That's
what you get. Amen. Paul Webb, come on in. Finish us off here, Paul.
Hey, Coach. Something I would a food for thought about the rapture doctrine. You know, Darby taught it, but guess who one of his associates was? Last name. Crowley.
No.
Whose son was Aleister Crowley, the father of Satanic Church. So I thought I'd throw that in there.
Oh my goodness, my goodness. Hey, listen, I gotta jump off right afterwards. We gotta drive to Cleveland, catch a flight, covet your prayers that healing is the children's bread, and that the Lord would pour out his grace and his mercy upon me and Dr. Sherry and Brett, and good things will happen. And I got to get my energy back, man. Feel like I'm drugged up here.
Get some amps.
Knock it out of the park, Coach and Brett. I won't be there and Dr. Sherry, but I'm going to pray for you guys.
Hey, guys, I'll see you tonight, Coach.
All that.
All right. Hey, Paul, good. I'll see you tonight then, huh? God bless you. Hey, I love you guys. I just love what a wonderful team of people you are. And we're going to win this thing, man. We're going to win.
You're six, brother. You are protected.
Amen.
I'll see you tonight too, Coach.
All right, Susan. God bless y'all, guys. See you tomorrow.